Welcome to the GD Spirit Pub for rebel souls, earth angels, and courageous hearts.
Because we believe we chose this crazy human existence, we're here to ponder upon the challenges, the meaning, and purpose.
Cheers to you for tuning in to your soul.
And joining us at the GD Spirit Pub for a pint of joy and to enlighten up.
Hey there, and welcome to the pilot, the very first episode of the GD Spirit Pub. There, I said it again, right? I keep going GD Spirit Pub. It's the GD Spirit Pub. I am one of your hosts, also known as Green Diva Meg, Megan McWilliams, and with me, my co-host,
Weenie Greenie Julie, Julie Bon Genevieve.
Yeah, I love that weenie greenie thing.
Self-named. Yeah. Nobody gave me that one.
Part of what we're doing here is Julie and I have been having this conversation ongoing for...
30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were babies when we started. We were just babies.
First grade.
It has been an ongoing thing. I don't think we talked about it as children so much as... when we reunited, there was a brief time we were best friends, a painful time
that we were apart.
Yes. We were best friends when we were younger. Then right around that puberty nightmare, I went off into the land of troublemaker dumb.
Rebel gal.
Yeah, dumb dumb. And Julie was like, oh, bye-bye. I don't know what your deal is, but I don't want anything to do with it. And she was smart.
I was terrified. Boys, drugs, drinking, it all scared me.
Yeah, I was like 12. What was I thinking? So, it interestingly enough, I don't know how many years later, maybe 20, or like 15 years later, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah, 15 years later, we reconnected. I had just gotten sober and was now kind of back on, well, I don't want to say back on, but I was on a spiritual path. My own sort of quirky path. And Julie and I reunited and discovered that we were sharing this path, but we had come to it from different places. Mm-hmm. Anyway, since then, and back then, we started on these little spiritual adventures. We were so excited to find each other and to find out that we had so much in common in terms of our beliefs and our ideas and our yearning to discover more.
Yeah, because when I last saw you, I thought you were just on a pedestal. You were the grooviest thing. I would never live up to.
You see my face, shaking right? Her head. I'm wincing like, no.
I'd never be as good as Megan. I idolized you and thought she was this perfection. Then when we realized, my gosh, we could still be friends when we were, in our late 20s? We had so much in common. We were equally insecure, which was a shock to me.
Oh, I always thought Julie was like this pure, innocent, like really smart, like unbelievably good artist. And I was like this little kind of dumpy drug addict alcoholic, you know.
Oh, and meanwhile, I've been battling my being a dwarf and the arthritis that came with it. And so that was my identity. And I did not know that Megan saw who I really was. And I always saw who she was, but I thought I was not that light. I was not equal. It was fascinating to find out that you had felt not worthy.
Yeah, and these are our internal filters that are telling us, So I love seeing myself through Julie's eyes. And over the years, I've learned if I'm really feeling like crappy, I call, and we do it to each other, right? Mm-hmm. We call each other like, because we
tell me who I am.
Yeah, remind me that I'm actually.
I've forgotten.
Which is part of what we're doing
this
here.
This is our theme, the human amnesia. Yeah. It's very important, but very brutal.
So I had this thought about talking in this just pilot episode a little bit about the background that you and I have. In terms of this adventure in spiritual discovery, maybe. First of all, I just want to clarify that I have no religious training, none whatsoever. My family was like, nope. I was baptized mostly accidentally. I mean, it was sort of like an afterthought. Seriously, it was.
An accidental baptism.
Well, my parents had these friends, the Serafinos, who were Italian, and they were horrified when they realized that their children were not baptized. And like literally, you know, talk to my parents. So I was 4. My sister was 12. My brother was 14.
I can't believe I'm hearing a new story.
You've not heard that story?
I have never heard you tell that. That's hilarious.
I actually have a vague memory of it, but we all got baptized one day, like on a Wednesday, at St. Peter's Church.
Oh, St. Peter's.
Yeah, yeah. Because they just convinced my mother that it wasn't going to harm anything. And she was like, okay.
But it could save their soul.
Right. So, you know, it wasn't like we were seriously religious family, as you can tell. But my parents sort of paid their dues at that church so we could have weddings and funerals when needed. You know what I mean? That was kind of how we did it. Now, backing that up to say that my mother had a spiritual life. She did have a belief in a God. She believed in angels. She believed we all had guardian angels. In fact, one of her friends later in life called her and said, Mary Jane, I had a dream and I got the names of all your family's angels. And Whoa. She wrote them all down. I don't know whatever happened to that. But
oh, man.
Isn't that weird?
That's cool.
So she did have a spiritual life, but she didn't really ascribe it to any religious thing.
That's us. Spiritual, not religious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that check that box. We can check that box. But we were doing it before it was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We really were. So Julie and I found our way to each other again and then discovered these things. And Julie, I also think you did not have any real religious upbringing as a kid. I don't remember when we were kids, you guys ever going to church.
No. My older brothers and sisters did, but my father, who was a deacon in a church in the first
really?
Time, he was. I know.
I knew that.
But guess what happened? They had money every year from their strawberry festival, and one year a tenant house burned down, and the tenant house was for the migrant workers who were predominantly African American, who would come through and help with the fields and do those jobs. And when it burned down, my father went to the other church people and said, this is what the strawberry festival money should go toward. And they all
obviously really,
they hemmed and hawed. They came back to him and said, yeah, you know, we don't really want those people here anyway. My father was beyond furious. He quit the church. This was typical dad, black and white, never to go back again. He and a
was this
team,
before Julie?
This
BJ?
Was,
before Julie? That doesn't sound right. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Before Julie.
It was when I was very young.
Okay.
In Cranberry. And they raised his community, the neighborhood. He went around and they raised the $10,000 necessary to rebuild the tenant house.
Your dad was a righteous fellow.
He was.
He had some strong
So
values.
Although I don't have a religious background, I apparently have this moral core that can sometimes be a little bit black and white.
Yeah.
And I believe there were past lifetimes where I was equally black and white.
Yeah. Like black and white, like a nun.
Exactly.
Habit. Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
I'm sure. No, someone, I had a reading once with somebody. I don't know whether you were with me, because I'm going to tell you right now, Julie and I did a lot of adventuring.
We did a lot of those, yeah.
And seeking out all kinds of different readers, whatever. But I had somebody tell me once that I had spent like 100 lifetimes.
Yeah, I was there for that
as
one.
As a nun, a monk.
And he said, we saw some horrors and we kept our mouths shut. And so we were making up for it in this lifetime with self-expression, writing, art, rights, all these different things that we now feel so compelled by have all been based in the different lives we've led, whether those are religious or not. They made an impression.
Well, that is, I mean, and that's part of this whole spirit pub concept, which I want to quickly get to, because we talk about past lives, but I believe, and I'm pretty sure Julie agrees with me, that they're not necessarily linear.
Right.
You know, it's not like you come in here and then next time you do that. And then, you know, it's kind of complicated beyond our own conception. But I believe we do have these other lifetimes that we tap into, that we draw from. And the concept of the spirit pub is this place where we go before we decide to incarnate again or whatever. And we're like, hey, let's get together in this lifetime. We gather, you know, with our group of people that are going to come in together. You know what I mean? Our families. Yeah. The
some are going to love the heck out of us. Some are going to kick our butts. But all of it looks so awesome from that perspective.
Well, even the butt kickers. Those are often the ones that that love us exactly. The most. They're like, you're not going to like this butt.
Yes, you know? They're not going to like this butt.
But I volunteer to do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I need to learn about forgiveness. What do you think you can do?
So Julie, I really think this concept comes from her creative mind. And if I'm going to sidetrack for a minute and let people know that Julie is a not only a talented artist, she is, but she's an author. And one of her books is Nothing Short of Joy, which Wayne Dyer read and wrote about, and he invited her on stage to introduce her. So her creative mind, I think, is the one who came up with this visual of the Spirit Pub, which I call the GD Spirit Pub.
Yes, this was back around the same time when we reunited. So, and we talked a lot about this, the idea that when I first read that idea, it so blew my mind that I might have chosen dwarfism, that I might have chosen a body that was painful and would have limits. But instead of being horrified at the thought, I actually thought, what? So if I did this on purpose, my soul had some great notion of what this could bring to me, how this could enliven me, how this could teach me, then I'm going to figure that out. Then that's part of the mission, is understanding from a human limited little mind perspective of how the challenges could actually catalyze these great things and wisdom and joy and strength. And we all know that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But
it's annoying.
It's annoying, but living it every day and really looking at our own personal struggles and saying, okay, where's the silver lining here? And how can I broaden that? Gracie agrees.
Gracie says, yes.
How can I make that even more expansive to where my soul would be like cheering and that's what we came for. Yoo-hoo! That feeling is amazing. And through my memoir, kind of recycling the old traumas and picking out, oh, and I learned this and I figured this out. And oh my gosh, the next time I did it differently. And learning to love what you think is absolutely unlovable, which I really thought about my body, it has been the most rewarding thing, hands down.
Well, it's part of that reach for enlightenment, I think, that we have to walk through whatever fire we've chosen in this life. And Julie and I used to joke around, we must have been drunk, like off
the pub,
completely stoned out of our minds when we chose this life.
Yeah, life on the rocks, woohoo!
Yeah, we were really, you know, but now in hindsight, like when we were in our 20s, we thought we were nuts for choosing all this.
Right, what could possibly be the purpose? And yet it still pulled us forward.
And now I think, I really don't think I would change a thing. I really don't. But at the time, I thought, why would I choose to be an alcoholic, a young mother, alcoholic, divorced, crazy, you know?
Yeah. And how could our soul be proud of us with all that stuff? And yet we come to find angels and guides and our soul just beam with delight over who we are, mistakes, warts, everything. Because just to be in a body is a huge challenge. Ooh, Hafiz has a great quote about that. Something like, just sit there right now. Relax. Don't do a thing. For your separation from God is the hardest thing in this world. God, love, universe, whatever.
Wow. But you just pulled that out of thin air? Damn. I'm impressed.
I love that one. Yeah. It soothed my soul.
Well, it soothed my soul. I don't know that I'm as familiar with that one. So, yeah. One of the stories I like to tell, and Julie's heard it, so I'm sorry you've heard it.
Love them.
Was when I was 4 years old, because I was thinking as you were talking about forgetting, why do we forget this stuff? Because when you say it, I go, oh yeah, of course. But when I think it, anyway, it's not the same. But there's like this forgetting thing that's built into our human experience. You know, we come barreling down that birth canal. Yeah. The birth canal, like, ah! And then we get here and we're like, wait, what?
Who?
Where?
Who?
What? What am I doing here? Wah!
I can't even move.
Yeah, all I can do is like, wah! I can't even talk right. So when I was about 4 years old, I was at the football field, which I always, in my mind, I see my dad there. So that he loved going to the football games and in our town where we grew up. And I was holding his hand and we were walking around and I looked up at him and I said, hey, Dad, how come I don't remember who I was? And when I'm done with this life, will I remember who I am now, next time? And he's just like, he just kind of looked at me and shrugged and kept walking. Because I could tell he was at a complete loss. He was like, I have no idea what she's... And that was one of my earliest memories of anything. So I've always had this notion that I have come from spirit and that I'm going back to spirit. I don't know what that means entirely. And there's so many... My thoughts about that have evolved. But that's part of what I think we want to do with this show is explore and share with you some of what we've learned in our explorations and continue to explore.
Yes. This is my take from my 9 or 10 year old. We're driving in the car, my other son, 5 or 6 at the time. And the road tended to put them into that kind of meditated hum. You know, we would have a nice quiet ride. And all of a sudden, Spencer says, Mom, if I was in spirit before I was born, mm-hmm. and I'm going back there when I die, how come I don't remember? I remember swallowing, looking in the mirror and going, wow, that is a huge question. So many great minds have tried to tackle that. I said, what I believe is that if we knew that we were eternal, that we were light consciousness, that we couldn't be hurt here, it wouldn't be much of a challenge. And I look to see if he's buying, and he says, yeah, that's like my video games. When I get a new game, it's really hard. I don't know where to find my health. I don't know how to do the activities. I don't know where the monsters are, the scary stuff. I die a lot. I have to come back and do it again and again and again. The second time through, a little easier. I remember some of the stuff. Third time through, it's a snap. I can do it in half the time. And I kind of know where he's going, but I say, so which time through is the best? And he says, oh, the first. It's the hardest, but it's the most fun.
Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, my work here is done. Mic drop.
Yeah, right?
I was astounded that he made that connection to, yeah, what fun would pin the tail on the donkey be if you didn't have the blindfold? Or hide and seek if you didn't have a place to hide?
Right.
Or the Olympics if, like, anybody could do speed skating.
Right. Well, you know.
We are in training because we love the challenge, even though it becomes a drag sometimes, that's very scary. The deeper, brighter, bigger part of us, the soul, is always going woohoo down the eviscerator, wanting us to follow.
Is that the birth canal, the eviscerator? Yes. That's hilarious.
So we keep to follow our soul, I think, ultimately feels the best, even though it's scary.
Yeah, and it takes quite a bit of, I don't know what the word is. It takes quite a bit of practice.
Yeah.
And attention and focus to...
Ooh,
to
presence.
Presence. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. It takes quite a bit to learn how to become present and then to be present under whatever...
Under the strain.
Yeah, the discomfort of this human existence,
the
brutality. We're sick. Yeah. There's hardships all around. We're asked to do
finances,
things.
Finances. Family. And it's very distracting. Squirrel. Mm-hmm. There's just always something.
Oh, the squirrel.
No, we both have that. The shiny object, I mean, we all have it because of technology now. So it's even more important to learn to focus our energies like we do with this show now. We're going to be focused on certain themes, certain ideas, and it helps us to remind ourselves of the truth we know, but we keep forgetting.
So it's all about us. No. I mean, selfishly, we will remember while we do it.
Yes. Teach what you need to know.
And I'm hoping that whenever we've had these conversations and then other people have come into our conversations, it's always really added to the dynamic. And so I'm hoping that you all will join us in one way, form, or another, whether you're writing to us or asking us questions and following our blogs and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I did want to take a moment to just also ponder the background. I think I said this before we went off on the squirrel chase. But it's all good. It's
typical.
Like all, yeah, the squirrels are cute.
Ew.
Shiny. Some of the stuff that we used to do that we don't do as much anymore because we've got these families these lives.
Daily responsibility. Remember tarot? We read tarot every day.
Yeah.
We played the angel game or the transformation game.
Transformation game, it was called. Yeah. God, remember I met my second husband.
Oh my gosh.
Playing transformation game. Remember that?
We did, yeah.
Remember that? And
it takes me back.
I know. So the angel cards, and people in my family who are, you know, claim non-spiritual love the angel cards,
right? All need those affirming words to focus on. Focus is so powerful. It's great medicine.
So
one good word can change your energy.
And the sense that there's an angel with you saying, today we're going to
feel
compassion or courage. Yeah. Or creativity. The only one I don't like is obedience. I want to take it out of the deck.
Well, I used to die when I got willingness.
That was like, remember we used to read runes? Hagalos.
Ruins.
Runes. R-U-N-E-S.
But it sounds like ruin. And Hagalos, which we called Hagendas, was basically like, just throw your hands up and forget it.
Well, it was like the tower. It was the equivalent of the tower, I think, in tarot, which is all about tearing down the structure. Yes. And it is very uncomfortable because it often means complete change.
Yeah. You're full of BS belief systems that need to come down and be knocked out so that you can experience joy. Yeah, but meanwhile, we'd be like, no!
I know. I'd like, I got Hagalos. And we would go, no, no, like throw it down.
Yeah,
and
pick
another.
Yeah, pick me another.
So, yeah. And almost.
And we went on road trips a lot.
We did.
We would go see readers.
Crystal shows or whatever, you know, like shops that had workshops and meditations.
We did a spiritual play together.
What was
the name of that?
A Course in Miracles thing?
It was. It was part of A Course in Miracles. We were quite the busy, spiritual.
We were like checking out
seekers.
Buddhist meditation people.
Right.
And Eamon, remember Eamon?
Eamon.
And he still comes around.
Oh, he's
cool. What was his name? Eamon Downey?
I think name.
I can't remember much, but
and
I remember.
He said I was called Almond. Amen. No one got his name right.
We figured it out after a few times.
Oh, he was a good medium. He was accurate.
Mm-hmm. We tried different weird, like non-churchy things, like the Institute for Spiritual Development.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy Kirsten.
Yeah, that's cool.
Anyway, we've really just explored all kinds of different things, all in this effort to reach. You know, reach further into
reach outward, but truly
but
we're reaching inward.
Yeah, I was trying to find a way to describe them. Like, well, we're trying to discover our souls
and help us remember.
Yeah,
those sparks of that's exciting. Ooh, that's heart opening. Ooh, that blew my mind. It was very like a full adventure of and welcoming in whatever. There was some BS along the way, but for the most part. We felt we resonated with whatever we followed.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a couple of times, and it's kind of on the tip of my memory bank that's failing right now. But there were a couple of times where we were kind of like rolling our eyes, like, okay, You didn't go with me, though. This one time I went to the nuns, the crazy nuns out in...
I know where they are, though. It sounds
New
so
York
cool.
State, is it?
Yeah.
And these nuns, they're like really into astrology and angels and... art and really cool stuff.
Yeah, and
but
still
they are still
considered
Catholic nuns. Yeah,
how did they manage that?
I don't know, man. But they're very cool. So yeah, we've really done it all. Well, maybe not all, but we're getting there. That's just to give you an idea that that we're not really onto any religious track or any specific belief system that we're trying to convince you or you know, sell anybody anything, any particular ideology. We really are just open.
And what has worked for us and brought us that sense of peace and presence, we want to keep working at, because that's why they call it a spiritual practice.
Really?
It's an ongoing journey. And every time we commit to a new path, and Megan and I have been down many for our work and the way we show up here and what we're trying to do, sharing that is really helps us feel more on purpose as well.
Well, I'm just honored because for many years I have tried to conspire, you know, to get us together.
Yes,
on microphones.
And you did it.
And we've done it before. Remember when I was working with Kristen Ace?
Yes.
We were in the studio.
That was fun.
We've done things together, and you've done Green Diva shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I have wanted to create with Julie in some way, shape, or form since, you know, we've reunited.
Yes.
We've been like, you know, we've done a workshop together, which I hope we do more.
We did.
Because I thought it was pretty magical, just saying. We combine Julie's, like, really fun, creative. Not only do you have creative talent, but you have a good way of helping everybody feel creative, whether they suck or not. You know, that's myself talking.
Because we are all creative.
We are all creative. So Julie has really helped me with that. But so we had a small group of people. We did vision boards together. And our talents combined, we really just wanted to create a space for people to not only create together, but to feel energized in their creative thinking and transforming and manifestation, you know.
And remember how suddenly everyone had wings on their vision board and no one was looking at each other?
Oh, yeah. I was like in the other room making
wings.
What?
So themes emerge, which happens when I lead workshops. It's shocking. Suddenly there'll be this theme. Last time it was divorce, suddenly came out, and that was the thing that people were resonating with and really needed encouragement and support, and it happened. So we're hoping that for this show as well, that we just be open channels for what needs to be shared.
Spooky just came over.
Spook'em cat.
Hey, spookers. Yeah, she's been around for the... Oh, she's talking. So we have to wrap this session up, but I don't know. What can we say?
I have a great quote from Mike Dooley.
Oh, good. Yes, please.
Oh, which one do I read?
I know they were both good. You read them before.
Well, this one. This is from his Notes from the Universe. You might want to sign up for them if you don't know about Mike Dooley's daily notes. They're really quick, but very uplifting. And he speaks as the universe. So, upon confirmation that you would soon be living on planet Earth at this wild and crazy time, as you know less, there was utter jubilation. And one of the many reasons you were so happy was because you knew there would never, ever be any shortage of people you could help, smiles you could spread, and love you could give. You're like me. Love the universe.
Aw, that's an awesome way to end this first show. I hope that we've brought you a little bit of light. Check us out. Share it up. Whatever. I don't know how the hell to close this. What do we
Thank
say?
Thank you, and sayonara.
Yeah, there you go.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at the GD Spirit Pub.
Hope we helped you remember the gorgeous light that you are.
To find out more about the GD Spirit Pub, this podcast, Weenie Greenie Julie, or GD Meg, please visit gdspiritpub.com.
This podcast was joyfully produced by Green Diva Studio. Please look for us on iTunes as The Green Divas.
While you're there, leave us a glowing review.